This is the Don and Mike Show.
A bitter cold night. The Giants, with a victory against the Eagles tonight, could reduce the edge to a half a game. I'm not on camera now. We're in Philadelphia at Franklin Field. The score, the New York Football Giants 13, the Philadelphia Eagles 9. Don and Mike Show.
Your daily mental floss. The Don and Mike Show.
All right. Been a long time.
Yes, we had
for a reunion.
We had like a cameo with him when he was at the Final Four.
Right.
Let's welcome back now our favorite from CBS Sports, Nancy. Jimbo.
Hey, Jim.
Hello, fellas. Hello, Jim. Friends. It's wonderful to be back.
Friends. Hey, friends. It's Jim. Hold on. Let me get the old school music going here. Oh, hold on. That's
that's the wrong music.
That's right. A theme to Quincy.
I know what you're searching for, too.
Yeah, let's get some CBS NFL music going.
Yeah.
So, Jimmy.
Unfortunately, that music is long gone.
Do you have your shirt on right now?
I do, but only because I'm trying to be a little civilized. I've just stepped out of the Pittsburgh Steelers training facility here, and I just don't think it'd be appropriate. I'll get too many people too excited. So,
you know, back in the day, we would have Jim take his shirt off, and literally he would run down the streets of Manhattan and scream he was the man.
He's the man.
And I got arrested about three times after doing your show.
So, Jimmy, I'm watching last week. Jim now does the games.
Right.
And I'm watching you do the Patriots and the Panthers game.
That's good. That's awfully good of you, because I wasn't there. you're so bad. No. I was in Green Bay last week watching Brett Favre suffer a second loss on the season. Anyway.
Hold on a second. No, you did not do. Did you really not do the Packers?
I did. Come on, Don.
Hold on, I swear.
Now you're Mr. Football. I'm looking at you.
I watched all the games last week. Oh, hold on, you're right.
It'd be confusing.
Oh, you are right. That was the one
was
game.
Dick Enberg. Thank you for mistaking me for Dick Enberg.
Well, then I was gonna tell you, you had a really
all the way around. Yeah.
You had a really great call at the end of the Carolina game.
Good job.
I worked on that one a lot.
Hey, Jim Neff, does that make you feel at back at home being on our show? Isn't that typical of our show?
Jim,
I'm back.
Nancy, that's embarrassing.
Hey, what the hell?
Color me embarrassed.
Don't worry about it.
So last week, I'm watching you during the Green Bay.
Oh, sure.
Cleveland.
Well, no, I guarantee he watched that game.
Oh, yeah. No, I did. I watched it. Jim, how come all the games on CBS aren't in high def?
Well, most of them are. Our top three games every week are. I'm only a high def guy. I won't do the game if it's not high def.
Yeah, for you.
And to be honest with you, Jim, I love the Packers, but because of the stupid blackout rules, what was that like? That was the national game last week.
It was
the Green Bay game. So my local CBS affiliate, they block out the high def unless I get an antenna on the top of my roof as big as the Empire State Building.
Right.
So I'm forced on the Sunday ticket. I get blacked out.
Yeah, and you know, I think even
on the high def,
CBS here, even over the antenna, was the Baltimore game, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't know.
So we weren't getting the high def.
But Jim, because you're on the number one game, you're in high def every week, right?
I'm in high def every week. I'll be in high def this Sunday from Pittsburgh for the New England Steeler game. Cool. Yes.
There you go. Now, it's been so long since we've had you on the show on a regular basis, and we know it's going to be, you know, semi-regular this year. We appreciate you coming on.
We really do, Jim. Thank you very much.
You're awfully kind. I love being on the show. I thank the world of you guys. And the hardest thing for me on Fridays is we're kind of at the mercy of the teams and when they shuttle in the players and the coaches, so it's kind of hard to lock in on a definite time.
I understand.
It's problematic.
And,
yeah.
And we won't keep you long.
That's okay. We're in a nice little gap here.
Okay. Then perhaps before football.
Stop it, Rob.
We can talk about Jim. When I do watch you, and I do watch a lot, I notice just a hair. I mean, like an angel hair of resentment. When you gotta throw it back to New York to Greg. Come on, I love busting his chops.
I know you do.
No, you could not be nicer when you say, now let's go back to New York to Greg. But do you ever catch yourself almost saying, now let's go back to New York with Jim.
because you, no,
you don't.
No. That's never been a problem. Of course, now that you put it in my head, I'll probably do it on Sunday.
Now listen, all BS aside, you did the studio job, and we knew that you had a passion for that. But you do the studio thing on the NCAA, and now you're doing, you know, you're the number one announcer at CBS. Really, please don't lie. Which gives you more joy, the studio show or being out and calling the games?
The games.
You like calling games.
And I will say this, because while we're being candid, I wasn't sure I was going to like it as much as I do. But I have just fallen in love with being back at the game that's on our air every week. It's our main game. It's our doubleheader game every other week. Obviously, we alternate with Fox. We get the big game, and we've got a huge one this Sunday, a rematch of the AFC Championship game last year. And just all the excitement, there's a wonderful pace to it all. The studio was a lot of fun. I treasure my 6 years hosting the NFL Today. But, you know, I like the 3 hours. And I happen to also like the, you know, just the whole way it's worked out. Phil Simms is a partner here, is a heck of a great guy.
Now, he is next to Madden, with no offense, you know, because I know you're a CBS guy. With no offense, you know, next to Madden, he really is the best guy on the line.
I think you can strike
TV.
That first line. I don't think that he has to say he's second seat to anybody. And John obviously is the most accomplished analyst in the history of sports television. He's won the Emmy about 14 or 15 times, but Phil's the next generation guy, and he's fantastic at it.
I get the impression, Jim, that Phil works at it pretty hard.
He's in a room right now. We have just a small window of time here before we finish things up with some other Steelers, and yeah, we're in the film room right now on the Steeler compound, and you know, we're breaking down. And he's teaching me about this. We're looking at film.
Stag films.
Not the kind of films you watch at night, guys. We're looking at the Steelers and the Patriots from last January when they met in the playoffs.
Before we talk about football, here's one thing about Jim. Nancy is the walking poster child to promote CBS.
Mm-hmm. I really do not believe there's a better company man that is in the broadcast booth than Jim Nance.
And Jim, sometimes, do you ever feel like upchucking when you've got to read? And now, the stuff you have to read is not as humiliating as like the announcers on Fox, where they say, tonight, you know, America's greatest prison breaks, followed by, you know, whatever. You know, how many watermelons can you eat in 25 minutes?
Right.
But whenever you have to read the slug for whatever the dumb show is that's going to be on Monday night or Tuesday night, the end tagline is always on America's most watched network. And because I watch all the games, I see the other announcers, and they kind of limp through it. Mm-hmm. It's like, and an all-new Dave on CBS, America's most watched network. Jim goes, and an all-new Dave on CBS, America's most watched network.
I'm trying to mix that up a little bit for you. I'm going to have, like, America's top network, America's number one network, yeah, most watched network. Well, you know, it's something that's just a part of the business, and I do take a little pride in the fact that we are Americans.
Good answer.
You think about it, no one gets a chance to promote these short shows, and you said it, Don, more than I do. I made Ray Romano's career, let's be honest.
Jim, how come
60 minutes? I mean, I'm thinking of all the shows that owe a whole lot to me.
King of Queens?
King of Queens, Kevin James, my man, I love him.
Yes, you make Kevin James
shows.
You make Kevin James look like a problem child, because really, Kevin James, if CBS says there's a supermarket opening, we want you to be there. Kevin James will go in a CBS blazer. But
I know Kevin quite well and his wife, and they're great people, and I'm glad to see him back on Monday night. Now I'm really sad I get CBS out. I do various times of the year where we're asked to go and represent the network. I run into all these primetime series stars, and some of them get it because they're sports fans, and a lot of them, of course, don't even see a football game or a basketball game or a golf tournament. They have no idea. But the ones who really get it, they come up and they're so grateful for the way that I do sound like I'm interested in their shows. Mm-hmm. And try to sometimes customize some of those promos. But it's a part of the game. It's part of the business.
How come? Maybe it's because of your schedule. I think if you, now I don't know if you've ever been on Letterman. Excuse me if I'm saying you haven't been and you have. But I think if you got on Letterman, and maybe you had a couple drinks before you went on Letterman, if you loosened
up
a little bit.
That's glasses of wine. I remember what he drank.
Wine. First off, have you ever been invited on Letterman?
I've been on Letterman. I'm sorry you missed it.
Oh, I did. Did you kill?
I was on with Letterman. It's been a while, but I've been on Letterman. And then we had a series on Dave's show where I was romancing his mother. I don't know if you remember this.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Yeah, they had us, I was taking her out to dinner. I was taking her ballroom dancing, whining and dining Dave's mother.
I love that. That's great.
So it's already, well, then screw what I was going to say. I was going to say you should get on that show.
It's covered ground.
But then just never mind.
So, but why the wine? Why did you bring up the wine like I have to?
Because I've found that, Jim, this is in the nicest possible way.
It's the great tradition of late night talk shows.
Yeah, you're kind of a tight ass. I mean, when it, just to loosen your tie a little bit. I mean, I imagine now.
If he did a bit with Letterman's mother, though, that had to be loose.
Yeah.
You know, that really did. I mean, that had to be very funny. I wish I'd seen that.
The last time I was in the studio, this will give you an idea how long ago it was. The first guests out were the Spice Girls.
Wow.
It's been 6 years, maybe?
Wow.
Hey, Jim?
That came on after Ginger Spice or something.
So were you in the green room with the Spice Girls?
Oh, yeah. I was hanging out in the green room, slumming in the green room with the girls.
I hope the Steelers finish up in time for the premiere tonight of Do You Know the Name of the New Jennifer Love Hewitt Show, premiering tonight at 8 on CBS?
The Ghost Whisperer.
He does.
The thing with Jen.
Sure.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah, we did Carnegie Hall together.
Wow.
The upfront. Where they parade out all the new shows, right. And you walk out there before the full house, 2,800 strong at Carnegie Hall, and you know you kind of do a little emceeing and a little speaking, and Jenny was there.
Oh, wow, that's
Jenny.
Great.
Jenny, my Jenny.
I like that.
Jim, now let's get to football. Seriously, this year. Why, I know there's a simple answer for this, but maybe you can pontificate a little bit. Why is the AFC so much better than the NFC? I mean, I know that you could say it cycles, that it's just, it happens to be, but why is it now that we really are stuck in this thing?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not climbing up CBS's butt here, and I like the NFC, but I find myself going, almost all the really great teams are in the AFC.
Sure.
Why is that now?
Well, you were probably, like I was, kind of raised as an NFC guy. I was a Cowboy, that kind of football guy as a kid.
Yes,
you probably were the Redskins, et cetera.
Packers,
but,
right.
You know, so often this stuff is tied to the quarterback. That's the short answer of it. And the best young quarterbacks, I think you could build an argument with the Tom Brady's of the world. We got Ben Roethlisberger. Just look at the two who are in this game. The AFC has a plethora of talent at that position, and this isn't something that's just happened this year. I mean, this has been the dominant conference for, a nice 3 or 4 year run, I think.
So how long do you...
Obviously, with the Patriots winning all these three of the last four Super Bowls.
So how long do you see the cycle continuing? Because I remember when I was a kid when it would be that the AFL would win, or the AFC would win, and then the NFC would win 10 years in a row. How many years do you see this AFC dominance going on?
Well, again, we have the AFC network, so I'm trying to give you I'm going to give you here an unvarnished answer to this. Look at the young quarterbacks in the NFC. Eli Manning, does he have the ability to be, and I didn't even include his brother, by the way, when I was talking about why the AFC has been dominant, and certainly after that year Peyton had a year ago, that was dominance. Until he ran into a buzzsaw called New England in the playoffs. But you got the Eli Mannings and the Michael Vicks that are in the NFC, and you know this thing will flip here pretty fast. You'll be surprised. I mean, in a couple 3 years, it'll probably be turning the other way.
Okay, but now it's all good on the AFC. And
sure,
it's good
all
for you.
Good. Absolutely.
And I know you don't do the studio show anymore, but if you could perhaps mention to Dan Marino that the guy's name is Jake Delhomme. It's not.
I thought it was Delhomme. Watching the show, I thought it was Delhomme.
Okay, you caught the same thing. I mean. The guy's been in the league for how many years now? And for God's sakes, he was in the Super Bowl. And I'm watching the NFL today, and Dan Marino says, yeah, I kind of like this guy for Carolina, Delhomme.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, hello? Do you watch the game?
You got any producers over there on the set of that show, Jim, where they come down and hit you over the head when you do something like that?
Oh, yeah. Believe me, I would be watching the tapes and I would be rehearsing that name all week. But that's just, sometimes there are certain things that people can't get over the... the verbal hurdle, like from what I just tried to get through.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm a little disappointed, Don. I mean, I'm glad you're watching CBS, but, you know, you told me you would never watch the NFL today if I wasn't on it.
That's true. You said that to him.
Well, didn't say that, didn't he, Mike?
He did. I remember it.
He can't help it. That's true, but, you know.
What happened here?
Well, I don't know. It's love of football, Jim.
You know what it is, Jim? It's TiVo. I watch Fox now because you're not on the CBS show, right. But I still TiVo the CBS show.
So that's technically you're okay.
The show is doing just fine. They're doing great. Greg's is a super guy and an excellent broadcaster, and he's happy. I'm happy, and it's been all, you know, a really good thing for the network. It's all worked out really well.
Good.
So how are you digging the traveling? Because you had been stationary there in the New York area, and now you got to travel every week.
Well, the only thing that complicates that is that, you know, I work really every month of the year. I could work every weekend to broadcast, whether it's golf or basketball.
There you go.
Thank you very much. But, that gave me, working in the studio, it gave me 4 months out of the year to be at home and to know that I wasn't going to travel. And that was really part of the appeal. But when I came out on the road last year, I found it to be a lot less stressful than I thought it would be. Not the travel. I'm used to going through airports, getting on planes and all that, but the weekend and the time away, you're moving so through so much material and meeting up with so many people, it flies by, and I've gotten over that. That's not a problem. Now my family, I'm sure if you ask, you know, my family, they would probably say we like to be in the studio because mm-hmm. we would come in New York also and spend the weekends there. But we're trying to make up for it in other ways. I'm actually doing fewer events. That was.
Yeah.
We all agreed on them.
Yeah, I would imagine, Jim, seriously, I would imagine you do get a little crispy with the amount of stuff you do. I mean, you do the golf coverage, you do the NCAA, you do the football. Are you going to cut back a little bit?
I have already, yes,
okay.
So this past year. You know, they got 20 golf tournaments, and I probably scaled back to 15 of those. And sure, we've got the Final Four and the NCAA tournament, but I'm really not doing a whole lot of basketball until we get to March. So it's all moving along in an extremely comfortable fashion. I could not be happier.
Okay.
Are you wearing a tie right now?
I'm not. No, I'm relaxed, man. I'm chilling out. I'm just having to contain myself not to rip this shirt off.
Now is it raining today in Pittsburgh? What do you think for the
little shower went through. You know, I stepped out of the office. You may have heard this freight train that just went by.
Is that what that was?
That was a freight train. That's mm-hmm. right by the practice field. Wow. And the weather has begun to clear, and I think it's going to be a beautiful fall weekend. It's an early season big game. I mean, this is going to be
we're going to
Patriots and the Steelers here in the Steel City. It's a big one.
Let's get three games. Let's pick three games with Jimmy.
Okay, let's go.
I think
incidentally, now that we've got him back here, and he will be you visiting with us other times during the season.
Yeah.
What is our wager status? Where do we go with this?
How many am I up? I forget how many.
Oh. All right, if you must know, 3 out of 4 years you beat us.
Oh no! Wait a minute. What year did I lose?
There was 1 year we beat it.
Yeah.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
There was 1 year, Jim, because we had your checks Xeroxed, the checks that you sent to our charities, and they're, how sad is this? They're on the wall in our office.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh,
just to prove we want to bet for
right.
you. So how about, again, we'll play for charity. I'll go for the American Cancer Society. Mike, you want to?
I will also join you with the American Cancer
Society. And,
Jimmy,
you still got three amigos going?
This season, I'm going to play for the, Hurricane Relief.
Hey,
I'm going to determine later whether it'll be the Bush, Clinton, Katrina fund, or I'm worried sick, to be honest, fellas, here about what's going on in Houston.
Yeah.
Now, Jim, listen, I don't want to bring you down on this, and I know that we busted your balls when you were in Houston when you so rudely stood us up at the Super Bowl because, because you were going to be with, you know, some people about some opening ceremonies. But I know that is your hometown. You own season tickets to the Texans, even though you're never there because you support it. What's it like for your family? What's it like for you? How distracting is it for you? I mean, when you think of a 100-mile backup getting out of Houston.
Yeah, it's pretty whacked out.
Really?
Well, I have my mother and my father. Unfortunately, my father's in a home, and today's his birthday. And, you know, they're sitting there waiting for a hurricane to hit. And my father, we can't move him. He's in the late stages of stroke-related dementia, and, you know, we think it's Alzheimer's, and, you know, that you never really know on that.
Oh, that's too bad. That's too bad.
The problem is they can't move him. He's wheelchair-bound, and, it's just very difficult to move him. So, you know, I've been up all night trying to make sure my mother is safe and my father is safe, and And, you know, we're all very worried about him.
Jesus.
And it's been hard for people to get out of Houston. It's just been a mess. If you try to get on the roads, you're going to get stranded. You're going to run out of gas, it looks like, and it's been very difficult.
Now, your wife
getting down to the hours now.
So. Your wife and kids also live in the Houston area now?
No, we're up in Connecticut.
Okay, good.
So
okay.
I have my sister and brother-in-law down there, and they're doing just a wonderful job making sure everybody is as safe as they can be. And
okay.
I'm very hopeful and prayerful that things are going to work out okay.
We will pray for your parents as well. I mean, we didn't know your mom and dad were still there. I mean,
they're there. Yeah, we couldn't get them out, and they didn't. To be honest, my mother didn't want to leave because my father was there. So.
Right. Oh, well,
there,
good luck.
We'll be watching. I'll be glued to the coverage all night long tonight and really hoping that somehow, and of course, you don't want anybody to get hit by it. So if it moves east of Houston, let's say, that means obviously it's going to be devastating to like Beaumont and Port Arthur and all those great people down in the Golden Triangle. So you don't wish it upon anyone. But
no.
I just know as a major metropolis, in Houston being the fourth largest city in the country, if this hurricane was a direct hit or if it hit on the west side of Houston and came up inland and Houston basically got the northeast quadrant, if you will, of Rita, that would be very devastating. But the last I heard, it looks like it's fractionally east of the city, which would be good.
And I know that, in the world of sports, there's life and then there's sports. But I have to ask, is there a chance that the Texans could be put in a situation like the Saints are put in where, I mean, God forbid, I've only been to Houston that one time for the Super Bowl, and I don't really know where Reliant Stadium is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, that's a good question. I never even thought of it until you asked. And the stadium, of course, is one of the newest state-of-the-art edifices in the whole NFL, and it's on the south side of Houston, which is not good. It's hugging the Galveston side of Houston.
So I didn't.
It's probably 30 miles from Galveston, but probably 20 something miles by air, or if you will, by land, direct from the Galveston Bay.
Yeah.
But I think it'll be okay. I really do. And they're on a bye week, the Texans, so they're not playing this week.
And Jim, what are your personal thoughts? Because I know you won't tote the NFL line about this. What are your personal thoughts about the Saints and that first game up in New York? That the Saints, I think from everything I've read and heard, they would rather have played in Baton Rouge or in San Antonio.
Well, it's silly to give them a home game and play it in New York City. It's weird.
What are you hearing about that? Are the Saints really upset? What's your opinion on it?
The Saints are really upset, and they don't want to come off as ungrateful because they know a lot of people have been wishing them well and they've been in their thoughts and prayers, but they go to play the game on Monday night and it's at Giant Stadium. They dressed in the visitors' locker room. And I know the argument could be, what are we supposed to uproot the Giants? That is their locker room, their facility where they train. Are we supposed to move them into the visitors' locker room for this one night? But, you know, that kind of got to the Saints a little bit, that they were in the visitors' locker room when they are, in theory, the home team.
Yeah.
The Giants got to call the coin toss. That was upside down. It should have belonged to the Saints. They had up on the scoreboard, they had the
Go Giants.
Electronically induced, Go Giants,
right.
And the clapping and all of that. And, in short, it's not just the Saints are upset about it, but the Redskins and the Cowboys and the Eagles.
Yeah.
I promise you, they didn't like that either. The division folk, it's another home game. And I'm going to tell you, even Phil Simms, I talked to him about it, and we both agreed that had that game been played anywhere other than New York, that the Saints would have had a great chance of winning that game.
Well, let's all hope that doesn't happen in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And we hope that your parents are doing well. And, to be honest, we had like an agreement with Jim to come back to the show. And I'm not trying to embarrass you here, Jim. Jim is a family guy.
Mm-hmm.
And with the illness of his dad,
right?
I think I had mentioned Jim had personal reasons he wasn't going to be on all this. So we applaud that, the fact that, it's important. I saw Bob Costas say something that I thought was incredibly insightful on his show, Jim, on his HBO show, where he said he was taking to task announcers who say that the Hurricanes really put into perspective sports. And Bob Costas was saying, when you say that, you are really undermining the intelligence of the viewer to think that the viewers have to have something like thousands of people losing their lives for us to go, oh, yeah, it's just football.
He was right. Who doesn't know that? I think we all know that. Everybody knows that it's, what the perspective is.
So, Jim, last heavy thing about this. Regardless of what happens in Houston, and we're hoping for the best over the weekend, How deeply will you get into this at all on the game on Sunday? I mean, if like there's a, if you got to read a slug for the Bush, Bush Clinton Katrina Fund or something, will you address your hometown?
You know, you're pitching ideas to me that I haven't thought through with this hurricane, you know, taking aim at the Texas coast tonight and into tomorrow morning. I don't know what I'm going to feel like on Sunday, but
right.
You know, I'm optimistic that things are going to be, are going to be okay down there. And you know, thankfully, you know, I've talked a lot about this New Orleans catastrophe, and when I was a young boy, before we lived in Houston, we lived in New Orleans, so I'm very familiar with that area too. And you know, what's a little bizarre and it's a little different way of thinking about it is Katrina didn't flood. It wasn't Katrina that flooded New Orleans.
Right.
You know, it was the fact that the levees broke. Katrina
right.
came through, and you know, it really leveled Mississippi. And wiped out, you know, portions of Louisiana. But as far as New Orleans goes, there were flooded streets and then they drained. The problem came the next day on the Tuesday when the levees broke. It wasn't Katrina that caused all that flooding. Well, yeah, you can say sure it did. That's why the levees. But if the levee situation had ever been under control
mm-hmm.
and had been fortified to be able to withstand something greater than a hurricane level 3, then that would not have been an issue.
You're not the only person that's upset about that, that's for sure.
Very true. And Jim, I wasn't trying to put you on the spot. It's just, all kidding aside about you being a Boy Scout and everything,
mm-hmm.
I find the human part of you rather refreshing, and the fact that you're not afraid to say, you know, on America's number one network. So I guess what I was saying is, you know, if you get a chance during the game on Sunday, you know, don't be afraid to go with your emotions. I mean... Because really, there is football, and then there is life. And most everybody who will be watching you call this game, which is the number one game this weekend, the Patriots and the Steelers, everybody would know. Mm-hmm. You're just a guy like all of us.
Right.
So, anyway,
take it for what it's worth. I struggle with sometimes, and this is what I think a lot of broadcasters don't maybe give a lot of thought to, is I've always believed, and in my career, I get asked, well, what's your style, or how did you come up with whatever your approach is? And it's not anything that I've ever given a lot of thought to or pre-planned, but I do know that I was raised on a heavy diet of Pat Summerall and Chris Schenkel, who we just lost, and Jim McKay and Jack Whitaker and
right.
Keith Jackson and all these, and Ray Scotts and Frank Liebers and Dick Enberg and these legends, and Kurt Gowdy, God bless him. I hear he's been going through some recent health issues. And they were never really bigger than the game. And by that, when you watched a game, or let's take my game, Pittsburgh and New England this weekend,
right.
I realize people are watching the game because of the game.
Right.
I've never had the ego trip to think that people actually care, you know, what, that I'm doing the game.
Well,
or what I have to say about it. They want me to do whatever it is that I'm supposed to
make
that an enjoyable experience. It is not about me.
I apply, but listen, hold on. Let me just debate this with you for a second. I know you have to go. I swear to Christ, Jim, I'm not busting your balls here. I appreciate what you're saying as far as you are a professional broadcaster. You're following the role models of these other guys. However, I'm telling you that there is, it seems when you're watching these games, except for the guys reading the cards, there really is no compassion. I mean, and I know it's because you guys are doing what you do, and it's your life. I mean, you will call the game as you see fit. I just think that you have the capacity to, even in a brief amount of words, in between a play or going to a break, just say something.
There's no doubt that I would, and I will say this, that if, you know, I hear that all the time. People like the fact that they feel like they know me.
Right.
You know, the people that are the real avid sports fans and see a lot of our programming. But, you know, golf in particular teaches you that, because golf is a sport that demands a storytelling ability more than football, more than calling up and down the floor of a basketball game and the excitement and all the intensity and the attempts to try to raise your voice up and over the fevered pitch that's coming out of the arena. You know, golf is a fireside chat, and that is where you can get more into the humanity of the sport.
True.
And that's what you're talking about here. And I've never been bashful about letting people know when I am touched by a story or impressed by a person or a person's character. That's what I'm in these meetings for on a Friday today. That's why I'm meeting with Willie Parker and trying to get to know him, or a Troy Palamula from Polamalu from Pittsburgh, or Ben Roethlisberger. I want to find out something about them other than X's and O's,
right,
that makes them interesting, that makes them people that you want to root for.
Right, well, Jimmy, we didn't mean to put you on the spot with all this. It's just,
we
got going about the hurricane with you.
And it really, seriously, everybody here, I mean, you know, I think these, both Katrina and now with this hurricane, Rita, you're going to be in our thoughts this weekend, and hope your family does okay down there.
Well, thank you, and it's great to be back with you guys. Now, we're going to pick the three games.
Yes, here we go. Let's do this quickly. Here are the three games. Here we go. First game, New York Giants at San Diego. There is no way San Diego's 0-3. I'll take San Diego. Mike.
I'll take the New York Giants.
Jimmy.
And this is as crucial a must-win game for anybody that's on the lineup this weekend. San Diego has to win. It will play the following week at New England. So this is, you'll never see a team play with more urgency than the Chargers, and I think this is one of the games that I really like more than any other.
Okay, now, how do you feel about calling your game?
Let's not call my game.
Let's not do that one.
Okay.
Then let's go with, I think this is intriguing, Oakland, even though they're 0-2, at Philadelphia. You must be bold to take Jim Nance's money. I'm going to go with the Oakland Raiders.
Mike. I'm right with you on that one. I agree. I'm going to go with Oakland also.
Well, I'm going to do a little box out move here, and I really think that the Raiders, and they're huge underdogs here. They're huge underdogs. And I've talked to people in the Oakland organization this week and told a couple of them that just for whatever it's worth, I think they can win the game also. But I'm going to take Philadelphia since you guys both took the Raiders.
All right, and then the last game.
I think it's going to be close, or I think the Raiders could upset them, but I'll take Philly.
The last game, the Monday night game, Kansas City at Denver. I think this year for Kansas City.
I like Denver. I like Denver in this game.
Jimmy.
Tough call. These two teams are very evenly matched, so I'll just go with the home team. I think Plummer's due for a big performance. His first two games, he has thrown for like one touchdown pass. I think Denver and a squeaker.
When you're up real close with Bill Cowher, does he ever accidentally spit on you? You know, like when you get like spittle in your face. I mean, not like he would spit on you, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Spray.
You know the way he is.
You knew we had to get back to normal, Jim, didn't you?
Oh, it didn't take long. like
when he yells at his guys coming off the
field. That lower lip thing.
Yeah, the, you are just the best football player I've ever seen.
Oh, and give him our best, won't you?
I saw him earlier today, and he was talking about how he went to his daughter's high school and spoke to the football team at Fox Chapel High School here in Pittsburgh. They were in the throes of a 14-game losing streak, so the coach asked them to come over and give it his all, and he did. He went in, he says, right in the face of these kids and thought about what you're playing for. You're playing for your teammates and toss out the records and don't let people measure you by your record. And you could just imagine how fired up he was in front of those 60, 70
I would like
girls
to see that.
So what did they say at the end of it? They said, yes, sir! And
see,
what happened? He says, well, they lost.
Yeah, okay.
Guess what? Phil Sims is waving at me.
All right, get out of here.
Means somebody's waiting for us.
All right,
see you
later,
Jim. We'll
hey,
see
guys,
you.
All the best, and it's wonderful to be back with both of you.
Take care, Jim.
See you, honey.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye. There she goes.
Wow. Just a roller coaster of emotions.
Sure was.
Just all over the line.
You know, when he started talking about the hurricane, we couldn't start goofing on him. Ron,
no, not when he's talking about his dad being in a nursing home now. I do wish him the best with that.
Me too. It's nice to see he's loosened up.
Rob, then take some notes.
These are my top three favorites.
Okay.
Jim Nance quotes.
Uh-huh.
Guys, it's a part of the business.
It's all a part of the business.
Sure.
It's all a part.
I treasure my 6 years behind the desk. A little MC with 2,800 strong at Carnegie Hall.
He's the best.
He's wound up tight. Isn't
he? He's great.
That's the first time you've ever heard Nancy on our show. Today we were serious with him, and we didn't mean to be, but when the hurricane came.
Who knows? I mean, that's where he's from. That's where he's got all his family down there in Houston, Texas.
Really, now that he's not on the phone, I can tell you, he's a terribly insecure man.
He is indeed.
It eats him up every day on Sunday when he has to say, now let's go back to New York to the job I used to have.
Okay, back to Greg.
Let's go back to New York. And a lot of times, you know.
Enjoy the show, Greg Gumbel.
A lot of times he doesn't even say Greg. Mm-hmm. He just says, let's go back to my guys in New York.
Let's go back to the studio in my old seat. Right now.
And I'm sure the CBS stars come up to him.
Right.
Hey, hi, listen. Jim Nance, hi. This is Mike O'Malley from yesteryear. I just wanted to say, thanks for promoting the hell out of our show. Yeah,
my pleasure. Hey, but he got Ghost Whisperer.
Of course he did.
Which is awesome.
Of course he did.
That's amazing.
He called her Jenny.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a little much.
I like that. Two this week. We got Peter Riegert, who called James Gandolfini Jimmy. And we got Jennifer Love Hewitt being called Jenny.
Guys, I got a beautiful floral arrangement. Just thanks from David Caruso. Very, very appreciative.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you, Nancy. We'll have our picks on the website, DonandMikeWebsite.com. Now, there we go. There's the music we needed.
I know what this means.
I think we've got enough time to see if we can give away a trip to Las Vegas and $1,000.
Serious money.
Here we go. Independence Air Travel and Leisure readers voted Independence Air one of the nation's top three airlines. And you can go to FlyEye.com for low fares, convenient schedules, and FlyEye's tender loving service. Sign up for the iClub and receive 500 iPoints. FlyEye.com, the official airline of the Don and Mike Show. Independence Air, go your own way. This is a flight from anywhere in America to Las Vegas with $1,000. And this is the theme song from the antiquated TV show Quincy.
Yes, starring the late Jack Klugman.
Yes, which was like CSI without all the good stuff.
Yeah, right? And hey, how about, you know, the one thing you didn't mention about CSI, how about all the new, bodies that they show there, you know, like with the girl with the head? It seems like they've really gone to town to make that a little better part of the show. The gross part.
Yeah. I thought the grossest was when they were going in the trunk of the car.
Oh, my God. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. It was incredible.
And when he reached in and pulled the plug.
The drain plug.
And then got it in his mouth.
Oh,
and then,
splash. And then they said that Grissom would have tasted it.
Yeah. Gilbert Grissom would have tasted it.
He would have loved it.
What's eating Gilbert Grissom? All right. This is the 1-900 medical information game.
I love this game.
You are home listeners. You don't have to do anything. You simply call up and you either back Mike or you back Buzz.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just going on instinct. We call a 24-hour-a-day helpline.
Yes.
What, Mike?
I always give Buzz a look when we do this.
A competitive look.
It's a very competitive look.
You're psyching him out.
Mm-hmm. We call this thing. It's for parents. Like, if you don't know if you should take your kid to the hospital.
Sometimes it works. Sometimes it don't.
You call it, and it says, welcome to the medical information line. And then, if, for instance, if you pushed in...
You don't have to give us the numbers, but one, like, random number.
6925.
Okay, write it down.
That would... Well, I'm not going to get to that.
All right.
Because that is on fat-free foods.
Okay, that's not funny.
No, that's not funny.
Not at all.
Now, for instance, you know, here's... I'll throw this one out. 4551.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Uh-huh.
That's athlete's foot.
That's funnier. Funnier than
See,
that
and what
one.
You want to do as you play this game is... You're building a pyramid.
Right.
Where I'll give you choices. And what you want to do is get, is it two in a row or three in a row?
It's three in a row.
That's tough, too.
Three in a row means you're a big fat winner.
Three in a row where they're all funnier than the previous one.
Rob, I think the name Comedy Pyramid has been taken.
Oh, has it? So we can't use that?
Yeah, sorry there, Robbie.
It's been taken by cable radio. So when we come back, we'll call the 1-900 thing, and we'll get two or three of you guys on the phone, and either Mike or Buzz... We'll be playing for you and winning the trip to Las Vegas.
Very, very exciting.
See, we could do it without the phone, but the best part of it is when the guy comes on and says exactly what the ailment is.
Right. The topic you have chosen is bleeding from the bad place.
So call now. Yeah, we love this game. Yeah. And someone will get the trip to Vegas. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.